This is Living the RV Dream, episode 244 for Friday, June 24th, 2022.
I'm riding in my RV, wherever I want to be, 'cause I'm free in my RV.
Hello, happy campers! Hello, fellow pelican heads and happy travelers around the world! Full-timers, part-timers, boondockers, van dwellers, weekend warriors, oh, schoolie builders. Let me tell you something. Greetings from Montana. Yeah, we are in the great state of Montana, somewhere nearby Fort Peck. And still following in the footsteps of Lewis and Clark, even though we've taken a couple of detours, but that's okay, because that's kind of the point of this trip, you know, just kind of have the 1803 to 1806 journey of Lewis and Clark as a guideline, but you know, it will get boring if every other scene was another visitor center. And the one thing I've noticed, I mean, even though when we went to Washington and we were looking for Lewis and Clark and we couldn't find anything, now here, pretty much every town has a Lewis and Clark visitor center. And after a while, you know, I'm not going to say they all start looking the same. Everybody has their own approach, and everybody, you know, tells the story of what happened in their particular area. But there's a lot of overlap, you know. There's a lot of overlap, a lot of overview where they go over the whole expedition. And but it's still very educational. It's great to see, even though, especially up here, the Missouri River doesn't look anything like it did back in those days, you know. Especially in the Dakotas, it's been highly dammed. So there's a lot of dams and a lot of lakes created by and the Missouri River. And last time we spoke, we were in Pierre. And I've been reliably informed it's not pronounced Pierre, but Pierre. South Dakota, the capital. And as I recall, I think I recall mentioning that I would have liked to spend at least one more day there, maybe visit the Capitol building. And they were having like a summer fair, you know, like one of those festivities that many of these towns have at the beginning of summer. Of course, 2 days ago was the summer solstice, and the longest day of the year. And I remember we stayed at Griffin Park there in downtown, and we did a little bit of the Lewis and Clark Trail. And then on the next day, we went to the very spot where Lewis and Clark encountered the Teton Sioux, which was probably the sketchiest of all their encounters with Native Americans. You know, they almost didn't make it through. I mean, it was, there were seconds away of shooting each other, you know, and that would have been the end of the expedition. Anyway, that happened near Fisher's Lily Park there in Pierre. And from there, you know, we kept going north. A lot of people just, when they come to South Dakota, they just take I-90 west, of course, going towards the Black Hills area Rapid City and whatnot. And we're going to that area soon, don't get me wrong. But as this part of the trip, we're going north. But we stopped there on I-90. As I-90 goes across, right before I-90 goes from going from east to west, of course, going across the Missouri River, there's a huge statue. I thought it was a, and it's, I mean, the jury's still out whether it is a Sacagawea monument or it is just the Dignity sculpture. It's officially called Dignity sculpture, and it's you know, depicts a Native American woman. I guess it's not Sacagawea because she doesn't have a baby in her back, and Sacagawea, that was her signature. You know, when she joined the Lewis and Clark expedition, she was like, when they met, she was like 6 months pregnant or something like that, and she gave birth at Fort Mandan, which is near nowadays Bismarck, North Dakota. So we spent a couple of days in Bismarck, North Dakota. By the way, cool town. Second largest city in the state. And We did a couple of things. We went to the main thing we did. We went to the to Fort Mandan, which is of course a historic site. It's a reconstruction. It is not exactly at the same spot where the original Fort Mandan was, because as you know, the rivers, you know, they change course over the years, and most likely whatever the location of Fort Mandan is nowadays underwater. Of course, Fort Mandan is where the Lewis and Clark expedition wintered from 1804 to 1805, and actually they were late building that fort. They finished the fort on Christmas Eve, I believe. Was it Christmas Day? I don't know. They had a great celebration, and it was already substantially cold in North Dakota at the time, and it was one of those, you know, super cold winters. It dipped the thermometer way below negative 40 degrees, you know, below zero. So, but we learned a lot, and one of the things that happened, apparently they're understaffed at the visitor center, so they're only doing the guided tours. They don't have self-guided tours. I guess they don't have like a person that can be there like the whole day, you know, greeting people. So they have the guided tours, which actually, in a sense, it was better. It was more difficult to film because, you know, I don't want to have the camera there, you know, while the ranger is explaining everything. But she was very knowledgeable, and she explained everything, you know. And I finally got an answer to why Sacagawea has three different spellings or three different pronunciations. You know, in some areas, I think it's the Montana way to do it. It's and the way that they pronounce it in the audiobook that I, you know, in Undaunted Courage, if you get it on Audible, they say Sacagawea. But then in North Dakota, it's spelled everywhere Sacagawea. But the ranger said that the Mandan language, or actually the Shoshone language, which is Sacagawea's native language, didn't have a strong K sound, so it was most likely pronounced Sacagawea, even though I believe Lewis and Clark spelled it with a J. I mean, there are so many spellings, and I mean, we may never know, but that's the story. And of course, she was their translator, and she was almost like an ambassador for them, because as the expedition continued west, you know, an expedition with a young mother with a baby, it wouldn't be something that posed a threat. You know, it wouldn't be considered a military operation. That's a story. We also went to the Knife River Indian Villages National Historic Site, which they have a reconstruction of an earth lodge, which is the kind of dwelling that the Mandan, Hidatsa, and Arikara Indians, they use this kind of dwelling. And it's very interesting in the sense that it keeps cool in summer. I mean, we had temperatures that day over 90 degrees, and it was noticeably cooler inside the earth lodge, probably low 70s. And I'm very cool to see the construction, you know, with the, it's like a wood structure, and then they cover it with hay, I guess, and then with earth on top, and then, you know, eventually grass grows over that dirt. It's very interesting. We drove around a lot. We even went up to Lake Sacagawea and Garrison Dam, and we ate at this place called Totem Trail, which is on the other side of the lake. I believe I saw that place the first time when I was here in 2020, and I said, that looks like a pretty good place. Maybe we'll go there at some point. Of course, we stayed at there's a pretty nice KOA at Bismarck, very centrally located. We actually went to the local brewery, which where everybody knows your name, Stone Home Brewing Company. It's very close to the state capital, which and its design. I don't want to offend the North Dakotans, but the design of the North Dakota's state capital is utilitarian at best. It's supposed to be an Art Deco building, but I don't know. It might be a Deco building. We went to this other place called Space Aliens because we thought it was cool outside. It was the food wasn't that great. The theme, the decoration inside, it was really cool. And that was the theme with all the restaurants we went in Bismarck. They all seem to be like very professionally managed, and the decoration and all that. And we went to this other place called Sticky's Garage, burgers and brews, excellent burger and good beer. And then there's a Mandan Village reconstruction, of course, as well. Also at Fort Abraham Lincoln, which is a little farther south on the river. And then we ended our day by taking the Lewis and Clark River cruise ship on the Missouri River, and it departs from right there from downtown, actually just below I-94 in Bismarck, and it sails all the way down to almost where the fort is, Fort Abraham Lincoln. By the way, Fort Abraham Lincoln, you have to go up to the hill where the garrison is, and you get beautiful views of the town. I fully recommend going there. And then the boat tour was pretty cool because you get to see, I mean, there's some very nice houses. It almost reminded me of Naples, Florida, although everybody has their curtains drawn in, so it's not like Naples that everybody just wants you to see inside their homes. In here, it was a lot more, what should I say? The word escapes me. Discreet, let's put it that way. And then we spent an extra day because I had to do an oil change on the Colorado, so that's what we did. And that was it. From there, of course, we went west, and that was our great departure from the Lewis and Clark route. Because if you are in North Dakota, I mean, you have to go to Theodore Roosevelt National Park. Those are the North Dakota Badlands. Kind of similar to the South Dakota Badlands. I think this one are a little greener, a little different. And of course, there are two sections of the park. They don't call them sections. They call them two units. So on the first day, we went to the South Unit. And actually, today we just drove through the North Unit with Vinatini. And so, of course, on our way to Theodore Roosevelt, which the main town there is Medora. There's not a whole lot to see in Medora. I mean, the town, it's there because the national park is there. So there's a bunch of restaurants, there's a couple of convenience stores, and that's about it. It's a cute town, very cute. But on the way there, we did, once again, and I did this in 2020, we did the Enchanted Highway, which is, this is like 25 miles. It's a detour, you know, a south spur from I-94. And there are these gigantic sculptures made out of, I think, from scrap metal, if I recall correctly. And it's something cool to see. If you have an extra hour and a half to spare, I would do it. And then, of course, we stayed in Medora two nights. We went to the South Unit of Theodore Roosevelt National Park. There's a loop road, which part of the loop is under construction, so it's really just one-way road that you have to go back through. There are bison, beautiful, great wildlife and beautiful landscapes. Of course, the Little Missouri River goes through it. And then at night, well, we had to do it at least once. And this is something that you have to do at least once, and that is the Medora Musical. It is a musical. You know, the first half is very much like any musical. You know, they have a couple of country tunes, and then they have several songs, pretty much telling the story of the town of Medora. That's basically it. But then the second half, it's more patriotic. They focus more on the life of Theodore Roosevelt and the Rough Riders, you know, and all that. And you know, when they went actually to Santiago in Cuba to fight the Spanish-American War, and but they do, you know, they have horses, and the setting of the Medora Musical is very important. It's an amphitheater, so I don't know what they do when there's bad weather, but we had a beautiful, beautiful afternoon weather. And in part of the amphitheater in the back, you know, natural mountains, of course. And they have a sign that says Medora, exactly in the same font as the Hollywood sign in Hollywood, California. But then back there, you know, that's part of the show. and along those hills behind the main stage, you know, they have horses and a horse with the American flag, and it was beautiful. It was beautiful. It's a top 10 best shows. That second part, it was a very nice show. And I would recommend it if you're in Medora. I mean, we got the premium seats, which are like the best, you know, in the middle. It was like $60, $65. It wasn't bad. So, and that's all we've done this week. And if you're in the Dakotas, that's, I mean, there's many other things to do in the Dakotas, of course. And we're going to go to South Dakota soon. And we're going to spend some time there, because Western South Dakota, that's the most touristy part. That's where you have Mount Rushmore and Crazy Horse and Custer State Park and the Black Hills and Deadwood. And if you drive an hour and a half away, you know, west into Montana, into Wyoming, you have Devil's Tower. So we're going to do that in a couple of weeks. But for now, let me tell you, I've been driving all day, and this is what I'm going to call the podcast today. We've had a great time in this area, and we've visited some other Lewis and Clark's points of interest, and the one that we did today, the confluence of the Yellowstone and the Missouri. We didn't stay there too long. It was very hot, lots of bugs, and they were about to close the site, but you know, we still went there and it was good. That's it. A little bit of a short episode today because we have another travel day ahead of us tomorrow, and even at mountain time it is 10 p.m. so I'm gonna call it a night. Until the next one, thank you so much for watching, and see you on the road.